Will you arise for the reading of the gospel? Fourth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 1. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He didn't eat anything for 40 days and then got hungry. The tempter came to him. "If you're God's son," he said to him, "tell these stones to become loaves of bread." "It is written," Jesus answered, "a man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that God speaks." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the edge of the temple. "If you're God's son," he told him, "jump down. It is written, he will order his angels to help you. They will carry you in their hands and never let you stub your foot against a stone." "It is also written," Jesus answered him, "don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms in the world and their glory. "All this I'll give you," the devil told him, "if you bow down and worship me." Then Jesus answered him, "Go away, devil. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and served him. This is our text. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dear Christian friends. Today has been identified as a National Day of Prayer. For the Christian, every day is a day of prayer. And particularly as we look at this text, with which all of us, I am confident, are exceedingly mindful of, and are certainly also unusually well acquainted. We are also aware that the three temptations which are particularly recorded here are temptations which are common to every person. You don't have to be a seminarian to be faced with these temptations. You don't have to be poor or wealthy. You don't have to be a person of low standing or of high degree. You don't have to be a member of the lowest echelon in the church, nor of the highest rung, to be touched by these temptations. And this morning we will have an opportunity really to take a very, very brief look at these three temptations and to see particularly how they affect you and me as members of the seminary community. Now, I think one should note particularly that as you look at these temptations, that perhaps we professors, pastors, and seminarians find these temptations particularly irritating and constantly plaguing us. The first, a satisfaction of all physical needs. Bobby Sands survived for 66 days without eating. Our Lord was in the desert and had not eaten in 40 days. And you can imagine, if you've ever been without food even for 8 hours or a full day, what our Savior must have felt like after 40 days. Why don't you convert these stones into bread? The devil tempted him. When there are these physical cravings, which are those facing each one of us, whether it is because of a gnawing emptiness in our stomach, or a parched throat, or whether it is the satisfaction of any other physical cravings that we have, there is always the temptation when Satan comes, why don't you take some shortcuts? Why don't you satisfy your desires? Why don't you satisfy your lust? Why don't you satisfy your hunger? And the Savior's response is rather emphatic, that a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. Our Savior with these words to Satan is saying that life consists of much, much more than the satisfactions that our humanness craves. The second temptation is a very interesting one, particularly to those of us gathered here for worship this morning. For it is a temptation which Satan brought to our Lord by asking him, by suggesting, by encouraging him to bypass the cross. And by bypassing the cross, to thwart the purpose and the will of his heavenly Father in sending him into this sinful world, but at the same time, that thereby he might receive the acclaim, the adulation, the worship that any human being might so easily be craving. If you are the Son of God, what a challenge! For most people who had seen the Savior were asking the question or denying the fact that Christ really was the Son of God, but that he was only a human son. Jump! And how often that temptation comes to us to take a leap so that we might thereby receive some kind of adulation from the people we serve, from a loss of popularity, when we find ourselves faced with a sagging ego, when we sense that we are no longer being appreciated, when we look ahead and become somewhat glassy-eyed and see our own personal crosses, and it is at that point that we would like to jump over on the side. But even in addition to that, the temptation sometimes is mighty great to make a big splash. Jump 600 feet down our arch in downtown St. Louis, so that people would say, well, that sure has been incredible, but he's a very terrific kind of person. Actually, he can accomplish almost anything. Jump when you sense that others are being honored and you have been bypassed. Isn't this, as we look down the corridors of history, one of the great besetting sins of the leadership in the church? How many individuals have begun with a profound sense of humility and a dedication to serve and a commitment to their Lord, only to find that as life went on and as they were being credited with success after success, that temptation in each one of us to be filled with pride and arrogance begins to build up and needs a new satisfaction and a new feeding day after day. Our Savior turned to Satan and he said to him, "Don't test the Lord your God." He demonstrated how he chose the cross with its pain and agony, with its death that confronted him, with that high racking fever, rather than to jump from the peak of the temple. The adulation that he received and the worship that he received because he kept his mind set steadfast on that cross on Golgotha, rather than to jump from the pinnacle of the temple, is what exactly makes us worship him today. It is exactly that which conveys to us the same power to overcome temptation that he used when Satan tempted him. The third temptation is another one which can so easily come our way. It is an insatiable desire for this world's good, both for the material and for the physical things. And as you know, Satan took him up into a high mountain, and there showed our Lord all the kingdoms of the wealth and the glory that could be demonstrated. I wonder what you and I would do if you and I would have an opportunity with some great vantage point, and there we would see heaped up all the gold that can be aggregated in this world at $4.80 an ounce. Satan's putting a price tag on that which far exceeds $4.80 an ounce. Satan says, "Only fall down and worship me, and all these things that you see are going to be yours." Remember the story of Goethe's Faust? Dr. Faust bargained with Satan to obtain all the treasures and the pleasures and the knowledge of this world, and sold his soul. And Satan kept his part of the bargain. Faust acquired all the wealth, all the wisdom, all the pleasure that this world had to offer, and all the power that one person could handle. But throughout this entire 24-year contractual period, Faust never found a moment heaped about with all these great and good things that people desire, never found a moment where he had true and abiding joy. Now, the Goethe version differs somewhat from that which was written by Christopher Marlowe, but in Marlowe's version, at that final moment, Faust does literal and spiritual somersaults in order to receive forgiveness for having sold his soul for 24 years in order to obtain an 11-hour conversion. Marlowe does not grant Faust that conversion, but he depicts Faust as being carried off by Mephistopheles and Lucifer and filled with all other evil angels, and screaming they carry Dr. Faust off to hell. How often there have been times when you and I have been playing the part of a Dr. Faust, when Satan has found our own Achilles heel. But thank God, what a marvelous thing it is that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought forgiveness into our lives. That you and I too, even like our Savior, can speak those great words that he spoke to Satan after the end of the third temptation. "Be gone, go away, devil, for it is written." And we take our comfort in those words, "It is written." What is written? It is written that in spite of every kind and every variety of temptation in our life, that we have a loving and a forgiving Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has sensed the identical temptation, has shown us the victory, not only over those temptations, but over Satan himself. He has shown us the victory even over death. that you and I can confidently look into the future, and we too can say at every moment of our life, as these temptations come like howling wolves and barking dogs at our heels, "Be gone, for I have a Savior who is at my side, who has already forgiven, who has already given me strength and power, who has already opened the doors of heaven, that I might there see the victory over temptation and over evil and over sin and over Satan." And angels came and ministered to him, Matthew reminds us. And so also we have angels coming to minister to us as we go from strength to strength, taking firmly the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which